You're listening to In the Vault, a KPMG banking industry podcast series.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to In the Vault. I'm Liz Lamadou, a principal in KPMG's Banking and Capital Markets Tax Practice. And joining me today is Will Shine. Will is a manager in our Washington National Tax Financial Institutions Group. Welcome, Will.
Thank you very much for having me back, Liz.
Absolutely. And as you point out, this is a repeat performance. We had Will on a few months ago to talk about Trump accounts. And just a quick reminder, the Trump accounts is a new provision for a savings account that came in under the OB3 legislation from last summer. In December, we had a notice from the IRS giving us some information about how to create those accounts and fund them. And now we have proposed regulations. So that's what we'd like to chat about today.
You're right. There was the notice that was released back in December that we discussed. And now there are the two proposed regs that were released just the other week on March 6th that I'm hoping we can dive into today.
Yeah, that sounds great. Let's start with some quick background, though, and just a refresher on what are Trump accounts? Who are they for, Will?
So Trump accounts are a special type of individual retirement account that are for minors. So they're for eligible individuals under the age of 18, and they're sort of broken up into two periods. The first is this growth period that has quite unique rules and limitations. And then the second period is where it transitions into what we would consider a traditional IRA. And this growth period would end on December 31st of the year of which the beneficiary turns 17.
Okay. And beneficiaries are, it sounds like children.
Yep. They're going to be eligible children. And so they can be anyone who is under the age of 18, and specifically that December 31st date before they turn 18. They can open an account anytime up until that date.
And what are some of the key features of Trump accounts?
So we mentioned the growth period. During this time, there's going to be restrictions on the contributions and the investments within this account. So there are different buckets of contributions, each with varying limits and rules around them. And one I want to call out specifically is this pilot program contribution, which I'm sure many people have seen in the news. It's this $1,000 that the government's going to be giving to the eligible beneficiaries. And that's also one of the things we're going to dive into a little later with the proposed regs. On the investment side, there's varying restrictions on the certain types of investments that are allowed and disallowed during this growth period. After the growth period, there's also restrictions on distributions that mirror the traditional IRA restrictions.
Okay, great. That's a good overview. And I should have stated that anyone that wants more in detail on any of this background, we have a prior podcast out there where Will talks about it in depth. And so what are the trustees' role in all of this, Will?
So throughout the whole life cycle of a Trump account, from its inception to when it's either closed or rolls into a traditional IRA, the trustees got a lot of responsibility in terms of eligibility verification, making sure that the contributions are processed and reported correctly, that the contributions fall under the legal limits. They also have the investment oversight responsibilities, so making sure that the amounts in those Trump accounts are being invested correctly and in accordance with the law. And of course, they are responsible for the distribution controls, making sure that distributions also fall within the law.
And as you mentioned, we had proposed regulations released March 6th by Treasury, and these follow a notice that was released late last calendar year on the same topic. So I feel like the notice definitely focused on clarifying the administrative side of creating an initial Trump account and talked about the pilot program. Again, these are eligible to begin in July of 2026, so it makes sense that there was some focus around how to get these started. But why don't you take us through some of the regulations that are proposed, Will?
So there were two proposed regs that were released just the other week. The first one goes even further into how to make this initial Trump account election, and the second one goes into the mechanics of the pilot program $1,000 contribution. So the first reg that I'm hoping we can discuss today goes into the administrative details on how to create an initial Trump account. It discusses a little bit about who can be a trustee of this initial Trump account, who can make this election, how this election is made, and a couple other items. And I think logically it makes sense that this is the first proposed reg we're seeing, right? It's about the inception of the Trump account, the beginning of the life cycle. And I'm sure as, you know, time passes, we'll see more proposed regs on the other aspects of these accounts.
Agreed. And then what high-level overview, what's in the proposed regs related to trustees?
So one thing that's interesting in this proposed reg related to trustees is specifically for non-bank trustees. And it mentions that if you have IRS approval to be a non-bank trustee of an IRA and you received that approval before December 31st, 2025, then you automatically have approval to be a non-bank trustee of a Trump account. Now, if you didn't have that approval before that date, then you're going to need to separately request that approval to be a non-bank trustee of a Trump account. Also related to all trustees, the proposed reg mentions that those trustees must notify the IRS in writing when they become a Trump account trustee, and they must also clearly designate their accounts as Trump accounts through the title. So there are some limitations on what you can call these products that you're offering to consumers. It must mention Trump accounts in the name.
And then how do you open a Trump account?
So opening a Trump account is made through an election to open an initial Trump account. And this election is made either by filing Form 4547 or through an electronic application on their webpage. And Form 4547 can be filed at any time through the year. It doesn't necessarily have to be filed with your other federal income tax filing obligations. And there's only one Trump account allowed per individual. So this election only has to be made once. You don't have to make it multiple times for the same account, and you're not allowed to make it more than once for one individual.
And who makes the election?
Yeah, that's a good question. Since, you know, these accounts are for minors, clearly we're not anticipating that they're going to make that election themselves. So this is either going to be made by an eligible individual or by the secretary. And notice 2025-68 already outlined the ordering rules for who an eligible individual is. It goes legal guardian, parent, adult sibling, and then grandparent. And I think it's notable that the proposed reg doesn't elaborate on this at all. It doesn't provide any definitions for these individuals, and it also doesn't establish any other individual who might bear a relationship with the beneficiary.
And what happens if the election is made incorrectly or by an ineligible individual?
Yeah, so if that initial Trump account election is made by someone who's ineligible to make the election, then it will be deemed to have been made by the secretary. And that goes back to what I previously mentioned, where this election can either be made by an eligible individual or by the secretary. And this is the instance where it's made by the secretary. And the reason that this exists is because the IRS doesn't want to punish the beneficiary, that child, for an individual who was ineligible. They want that Trump account to remain open since that child didn't really have, you know, they don't have agency over who gets to make that election. So it'll be deemed made by the secretary, and it will still operate as a Trump account.
Okay. And then anything else to note about the election for an initial Trump account?
Yeah, if you're going to be making this election to open an initial Trump account and electing into the pilot program contribution at the same time, then that individual who makes that election has to be the same person. You can't have these two different elections made by two different individuals at the same time. They must be done by the same individual.
And there's no potential for an automatic enrollment?
Yeah, the proposed reg discusses this quite a bit. I know that there was some push for automatic enrollment from outside institutions like the AICPA. And the proposed reg mentions that the IRS did give consideration to sort of an opt-out method instead of an opt-in method. This would be where Trump accounts are automatically created for eligible individuals based on tax return data, and then you'd have an opt-out available instead of having this election to opt in. Clearly, this would result in higher participation, which is, I think, what the goal for those advocating for this is. However, the IRS noted that there's two main issues with an opt-out method. The first is that it currently wouldn't comply with the code and applicable laws, as it would require disclosure of taxpayer information that's currently prohibited. And then it would also mean that the secretary is making that election for everyone, and that the secretary would ultimately be the responsible party for those accounts, which might make it hard for other individuals to make contributions to those accounts or potentially rolling them over into different Trump accounts or into a traditional IRA.
And so what is the responsible party, and does the individual making that initial election then run the account?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the responsible party is going to be the individual who acts on behalf of the account beneficiary once the account is up and running. And generally, that will be the individual making the election. They'll make the election and they'll become the responsible party. They'll have the authority to select investments. They can direct transfers or rollovers. And then they can also select successor responsible parties as well.
And can the person change, or the responsible party change over time?
Yeah, so as part of their roles, they can select a successor responsible party, which does mean that that can change. And I did think it was notable that in the proposed reg, the IRS didn't give any guidance on how this responsible party could change. They left it up to applicable law and the account agreements. They basically said that the courts and the trustees would make this determination on how the responsible party can change.
Interesting. So that's one more responsibility for the trustee potentially.
Yes, exactly. That's something they're going to have to be aware of when they're, you know, when they're drafting those account agreements, making sure that the responsible party rollover or changes is in there.
Thanks, Will. And so all of this related to the reg for opening an account, and we also have a proposed regulation specific to the Trump account pilot program.
Yes, that's right. The proposed reg we just discussed was about making that initial election to open the Trump account. The other election that is available on Form 4547 is the election into this pilot program contribution.
So let's go there next. What is the pilot program?
So we mentioned it way back in the beginning that this is one of those allowable contribution types. And it's also, I think, one of the headlining aspects of these Trump accounts. It's that $1,000 government contribution for eligible children. So it's going to be $1,000 paid by the secretary into the child's Trump account, and it's not going to be subject to any sort of debts or taxes or offsets, and it will ultimately be deemed as an overpayment that the secretary refunds into the child's Trump account.
This is the headline-grabbing part of the Trump accounts, I feel like.
Yeah, this is definitely what I think is driving a lot of the discussion around Trump accounts, is this sort of free, seemingly free $1,000 for eligible children.
And so can you talk us through a little bit more about how this works?
Yeah, so to put it succinctly, a pilot program election must be made by a pilot program electing individual with respect to the special taxable year of an eligible child of the pilot program electing individual. And I know that has a lot of unique terms in it and some maybe some specific definitions that I'm hoping we can dive into and dissect the different parts of that next.
Sounds great. So why don't we start with an eligible child? Who is that?
Yeah, I think that's the first question everyone asks is, you know, is my child going to be eligible for the $1,000? And so an eligible child is going to be any child born in calendar years 2025, 2026, 2027, and 2028. And they must also be a U.S. citizen with a Social Security number. And I do want to call out that these years are specific because they closely align with the second Trump administration. That's no accident here. I also want to note that an eligible child is someone who the program electing individual anticipates will be their qualifying child under Section 152C for the year in which this election is made. And this is interesting because this is the first time we're seeing the term qualifying child used in relation to Trump accounts. This will be sort of different from maybe the proposed reg for how to open an initial Trump account that had the ordering rules. You know, they had the legal guardian, then parent. This focuses more on qualifying child. So it has to be the individual who has the qualifying child. They're the ones who can make that election.
And is qualifying child further defined?
It is in Section 152C, so that's the qualifying child that I think most people are familiar with when you know you're filing your 1040s. That's the same definition as qualifying child there.
Okay, gotcha. So we're relating back to another definition.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've got the eligible child, qualifying child, and now Who can be the program electing individual?
Yeah, so we mentioned that this is potentially slightly different than who can be the electing individual for the initial Trump account. And I want to repeat something that I just said. The program electing individual is someone who anticipates the beneficiary will be their qualifying child for the taxable year in which that individual makes the election. And I think it's important to dissect the word anticipates here, because this allows the election to be made as early as possible. That electing individual would normally have to wait until the year end, their calendar year end for their federal taxable tax year, to know if that individual is or is not a qualifying child. But according to this proposed reg, they can make that determination before their year ends. And so this allows for the money to be deposited into the account as early as possible. It allows more time for that money to grow within the account. And ultimately, this account is for the beneficiary. It's not for that electing individual. And so ultimately, it shouldn't have any connection to the taxable year for the electing individual. Now, if an individual incorrectly anticipates that this beneficiary will be their qualifying child, so maybe they thought the child would be their qualifying child, they made the selection, and then it turns out at the end of the tax year that for some reason or another, they're not their qualifying child, well, that won't actually impact this election. Similar to the incorrect election we discussed previously, the IRS doesn't want to punish the child for a mistake that another individual made, and so that election will still be in effect.
Okay, so as soon as a child has a social security number, because that's required, then anyone anticipating that that beneficiary would be their qualifying child, they can start this account and make the selection.
Exactly, yes.
Okay, and then another term was the special taxable year. What does that mean?
Yeah, that's an interesting term. So what happens is that when someone makes this election for the pilot program contribution, it creates what the IRS calls as a special taxable year. And this year is going to be separate from any calendar-based year related to the eligible child or the individual making the election. It arises when that election for the pilot program contribution is made, and then it closes immediately after it arises. So, you know, it's this special taxable year that doesn't exist for very long and is just related to the eligible child. This special taxable year is important because it's related to the payment mechanic for the $1,000 and how the secretary actually gets that $1,000 to the eligible beneficiaries.
Okay, and before we go to those payment mechanics, I just want to regroup because we've laid out several definitions here. We've talked about who's an eligible child, who can be a program electing individual, and then what is this special taxable year. And all of this relates back to how the pilot program works, where you said a pilot program election must be made by a pilot program electing individual with respect to a special taxable year of an eligible child. So that those are how all those three relate together.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so now let's move on to the contribution mechanics. And so how does the $1,000 contribution work?
So we just talked about the special taxable year. So within this special taxable year, the child is treated as having made a $1,000 payment against their federal tax liability for that year. Now, since they don't actually have any liability in this year, this results in a $1,000 overpayment. And an overpayment can only be determined at the close of the taxable year, hence why this special year is needed. And this allows for then the secretary to refund this $1,000 overpayment into the eligible child's Trump account as soon as the election is made. They don't have to wait for any calendar-based taxable year end. They can make that refund and that payment as soon as the election is made.
Okay, also very interesting. So we've got a deemed payment for zero liability, therefore an overpayment, and we create the special taxable year so we can have the close of that period, and then the contribution is the repayment of that overpayment.
Yep, exactly. That contribution is just the refund of the deemed overpayment.
Okay. And then when is this contribution made?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, it would happen right when that election is made, because the election is what creates the special taxable year that the contribution is tied to. So ultimately, I think the question is, when is this election made? And I think, Liz, you correctly pointed out earlier that this can be made as soon as the child is eligible and has a social security number. Now, for when the last possible date this election can be made, that would be at the end of the growth period for an eligible child, which does align with the limits on the other contributions. And to remind the listeners, that would be December 31st of the calendar year in which the eligible child reaches age 17.
Okay, and so this contribution is tied to the election. So how do you make the election?
Yeah, so similar to how the election to open the initial Trump account is made, this would be on Form 4547 or through an electronic application online. And again, this form can be filed at any point during the year. It doesn't necessarily have to be filed as part of your federal filings. And as we mentioned, it does have to be, this election does have to be made by an eligible program electing individual, and it does require the child's social security number as part of this election.
Thanks, Will. That's a great summary of the proposed regulation as it relates to this contribution. So let's talk for a minute. We've got the proposed regs, definitely more detailed than the notice, although fairly consistent with the notice, just more information. What are some of the key takeaways for trustees if we think about our banking institution clients? What are some of the things that they should be thinking about in relation to these proposed regs?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we did get some new information regarding trustees from these regs, and then also some reiteration of old information, as you mentioned. So I'd say the first thing to be aware of is if you're a non-bank trustee, be aware of that December 31st, 2025 date, because if you don't have IRS approval for IRAs before that date, you're going to have to separately request IRS approval to be a Trump account trustee after that date. I want to reiterate that trustees need to be aware of who can be eligible, both for the children and the responsible party, because it is ultimately their job to ensure that these beneficiaries are eligible and that the responsible parties are eligible. Some of the new information that we received from these proposed regs that I think trustees need to be aware of are the naming requirements for the Trump accounts, that these products that are offered need to somehow designate in their name that they are Trump accounts. And then the other one that you called out, Liz, was that the IRS ultimately expects the trustees to play a role in this responsible party succession. And so when you're drafting account agreements or setting forth the regulations around those, be aware that the IRS has put that responsibility onto trustees as well.
Thanks, Will. 'Cause, and I think just like we took away from the notice, there certainly are a lot of responsibilities placed on the trustees of these accounts.
Yes, I think it's going to be quite a long burden or list of burdens that they have to take on when setting up and maintaining these Trump accounts.
And so stepping back or coming up to 30,000 foot view on the proposed regs, what's your overall conclusion?
I think overall we just got a little bit more detail and definitions on how to make the elections regarding the creation of initial Trump accounts, as well as the election for getting this pilot program contribution. I think these were two things that people had immediate questions about, right? Is how do I open this account? And then also, how do I get my $1,000?
We definitely need more details on other aspects, though, right? I agree with the focus on how to get this started, but I expect there's still more to come.
Oh, yeah, certainly. I think we can certainly expect future proposed regs. This was only the beginning of the Trump account life cycle. We need much more detail on other aspects, such as the contributions, right? Specifically, the employer contributions, on the investments and the restrictions around those, as well as the distributions, the rules that might govern those. I think we can expect many more proposed regs in the future on Trump accounts.
Yeah, and you brought up an interesting point because I think our banking institutions are looking at this not only for as a product offering for customers, but also you mentioned the employer contributions, and so there is that other angle here where maybe this is something offered as part of your employee benefit package where you want to make contributions behalf of employees. So just another aspect for our clients to think about.
Yeah, certainly. That's one area that I think a lot of people have questions on, and hopefully we get more details on that soon.
Great. And we should also mention that these are just proposed regulations, so we certainly need to be on the lookout for the final version of these and any potential changes between those versions.
Thank you. Yeah, great point, Liz.
All right. Well, thanks, Will. I appreciate you joining me again. As always, this was great insights, and appreciate you keeping us up to date on the Trump accounts. And I'm pretty confident in saying that we're going to have you back again soon.
Great. Thank you very much, Liz. Yeah, I look forward to talking again once we get some more proposed regs on these.
Awesome. And thanks to our listeners as well. This is Liz Lamadou on behalf of KPMG. I look forward to talking again soon.
Thanks for listening to In the Vault with KPMG. Be sure to subscribe to this series to be notified of new episodes.